World Michael Spicer, our 6:30 comedy, is after this.
I remember it like it was yesterday. I can even feel it.
On BBC Radio 4.
It was just such a moment.
The soundtrack to incredible lives.
I discovered I had 25 brothers and sisters. Since being on TV, there's another two that have come out of the woodwork.
A new series of castaways, including the repair shop's Jay Blades and beginning with the broadcaster and tennis player Sue Barker.
It was really, really emotional. I don't know how I held it together out there. Just thought, job done.
The new series of Desert Island Discs with me, Lauren Laverne, starts on Sunday morning at 11:15 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on BBC Radio 4, in a change to the Build episode, the room next door man's integrity hangs in the balance when he's asked to lead a new political movement and audition for the role of a children's snack product. This is Michael Spicer, The Four Next Door.
So I went back to the library and said, what are you going to do about this? I don't expect to see this in a copy of Middlemarch. Honestly.
Hello, my name is Michael Spicer.
You know, she smirked. She actually smirked.
It's September 2019 and I'm currently at work.
I had a flapjack a few moments ago and I'm trying to dislodge a pumpkin seed. These people think we were born yesterday.
Things are a bit tense here at work. You see, they've brought in a woman called Connie, who is known as a restructuring consultant.
So she went behind the counter to look for a rubber, and I swear I heard her suppressing a giggle. I said, are you suppressing a giggle down there, young lady? She said,
that's not Connie you're listening to, by the way. That's Josephine, my line manager, who's decided that arguing with a librarian about unscheduled pornographic doodles in 19th century literature is the best way to channel her insecurities about her future at the company. In fact, I can't really deal with this anymore, so let's just go to the next scene where I'm driving home. I too have been burying my job insecurities in an unhealthy manner, and on occasion they manifest themselves as a room next door sketch. They're a much needed distraction from the impending doom. Although in recent weeks I've realised it's become more than a distraction, it's become a, well, a career, really. I mean, listen to this quote. It's fine, by the way, I'm not actually driving a car. This track is from a sound effects library called Comedy Writers Nervously Driving Cars, Volume 3. Anyway, listen to this. After his character was mentioned in the House of Commons last week during a debate about international trade, Spicer
can now confidently boast that he is more than just a content provider. He has burned into our collective consciousness an original brand of political comedy to accompany the turbulent events that are occurring in our country right now.
That was in the Evening Standard. I mean, how petrifying is that? I never meant to burn an original brand of comedy into the collective consciousness. How do I live up to that? Plus, I should also point out that there is absolutely no money in burning an original brand of political comedy into the collective consciousness. None at all. I could literally make more money by walking into my local pub and shaking the Deal or No Deal machine. Of course, I'd know what Roberta would say if she were here now. She'd say,
stop searching for bad news within the good news, like a plumber looking for a leak. This is all you've ever wanted. Allow some time in your day to be optimistic. Enjoy it.
Or something like that, anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said enjoy it like that. I'm not a soft drink slogan. But otherwise, yeah, spot on.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello, is that Michael Spicer?
Yes, it is.
Hello, my name's Emily Mallaby.
Oh, really? Like the actor?
Oh, no, this is the actor.
What?
Ow, ow, ow! Oh, get off my lap, get off my lap! Oh, sorry, I am knee-deep in cats here.
Sorry, did you say you were Emily Mallaby, like the famous BAFTA award-winning Emily Mallaby?
Oh, I think I'm allergic.
Are you sure you've got the right number?
This is the room next door, man, isn't it? The guy does the videos. Don't let them near the buffet, it's unhygienic!
What?
Michael, look, I'm sorry about this. I'm opening a cat sanctuary today and it's all got a bit out of hand.
Oh.
I don't really like cats, truth be told, but it's hard to say no to these things.
Well, particularly when you've played Catwoman.
Oh, yes! That's why they asked me. You know, I did not get that until now. Sorry, can someone grab that silvery one with the David Bowie eyes? He's going to bring down those curtains in a minute. Sorry, Michael. So, basically, I love what you do. I saw the Evening Standard article. Great piece.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you.
Charlie, can you stop him, please? Just release his claws and throw him in the basket. Do I have to think of everything? Oh, sorry, I've got Charlie Brooker here too.
Well, that's...
Honestly, he might be one of the finest modern writers of futuristic dystopian narratives, but can he control seven cats for 15 minutes? And there go the curtains. Brilliant. Sorry, Michael. I'm going to have to go. Is there any chance you could meet me in town tomorrow? I've got a project I want to discuss with you.
Well, yes. Yes.
Excellent. My agent will send you all the details. Bye for now. Oh, for God's
sake. You're not allowed to have sex with her.
Roberta, we do have our sons with us.
I'm good. They can be my witnesses.
Oop. I'll get it this time. Whenever someone announces on social media the birth of their child, I just think about all the times they'll be picking crayons off the floor in restaurants.
Can you not talk to the audience underneath the table? It's a bit rude.
Yeah, sorry, dear. So, where were we?
I was just forbidding you from having sex with Catwoman.
Yes. Can I have this last piece of garlic bread?
No. I mean, this is amazing. Of course it is. And you should absolutely grasp whatever opportunities she throws your way. But do you have any idea of what she might want with you?
No. None. She just said she wanted to discuss a project with me. Maybe she wants me to be in a film with her. I mean, imagine that. On the eve of the company going into a period of restructuring, Emily Mallaby, of all people, pulls me out of the building before the wrecking ball arrives. It's a shame, really, because I've only just brought in a tin of Cadbury's roses for the office. Would it be bad form if I pocketed all the golden barrels on my last day?
Look, far be it from me to curtail your uncharacteristic optimism and audacious chocolate heist, but perhaps we should talk about your plan of attack for Connie on Friday first. Remember, it's still really important you keep hold of this job until your sketches start earning you money.
Yes, I told the listeners all this. You don't need to.
So what is your plan of attack? What's your plan of attack? Have you got one?
I'll get it. She knows I don't have a plan of attack, of course. I've never planned nor attacked anything in my life. I tend to just wake up every morning and then lie down on the ground as the day's events trample all over me in size 12 Timberlands. Whoa, what's going on?
Stay under the table, stay under the table.
Why, what is it?
I've just seen Alex sitting down across the room.
Alex?
Yes, Alexandra, the woman I had to make redundant last week.
Oh, well, we can't sit under the table all evening while our two sons sit above it.
No, see, that's exactly what we're going to do.
What?
Well, at least when the boys drop their crayons now, we'll be in a position to catch them.
Roberta?
Sam, can you put some salt on my fries and pass them down, please?
Okay.
Oh, Michael, so glad you could make it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Please take a seat. What would you like to drink?
Oh, what time is it? Oh, I think I'll have a cappuccino, if that's okay. A little bit of chocolate. Most meetings and catch-ups in show business begin this way, with precise coffee orders and small talk and unsubstantiated gossip about famous people. But as we're pressed for time, I'm just going to have Emily cut to the chase.
Anyway, I'm going to cut to the chase. I love what you do, you know this.
Well, that's very,
So I was wondering, would you like to come to my house tomorrow night?
Right.
To talk about starting a new political movement.
Well, that's very fair. Sorry, what?
I'm going to throw a dinner party tomorrow night for some of the sharpest minds in the country, and I want you to be there.
I'm sorry, are you sure you haven't confused me with someone else? Do you think I'm Marcus Brigstock? A lot of people think I'm Marcus Brigstock.
Michael, your comedy and your ideas have brought people together. People listen to you. If you agree to be part of this, then you'll be bringing something vital to this movement. Do you know what that is?
No.
A human face.
Is your face not a human face?
No. No. When people see my face, they see a vacuous celebrity. A pair of eyes and a haircut for Google's algorithms to pull apart and rank for the benefit of trolls with Union Jack avatars. I forfeited my right to be taken seriously years ago. But when they see you, they see someone else. They see a satirist who has the potential to change things.
I'm a satirist.
Well, yes. Aren't you?
Aren't you?
I don't think so. I've never considered myself a satirist. I think I'm just a comedian. And technically, I'm not even that.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares about labels? You've been invited to a dinner party at Emily Mallaby's house. It's a perfect opportunity to network. You have to go.
but she thinks I'm this trailblazing satirist who can make a difference rather than what I am.
Which is what?
Well, a tired father of two who likes to make sketches in his living room just before passing out for 8 hours. I'd be going under false pretenses.
I don't care if she thinks you're the ghost of Mark Twain. You're going to Emily Malaby's house.
Does it not bother you that this could potentially be very uncomfortable for me?
Michael, a satin gown lined with velvet kittens is uncomfortable for you. You are going, and that is final.
Are you talking to me as my wife or as my manager right now? Only, you know, I'm having trouble working out how I should behave. Perhaps you should dress one half of yourself as my wife and one half as my manager, you know, like Tommy Cooper used to do.
If the role of manager is to convince their clients that behaving like an apathetic tortoise is not their career path to fame and fortune, then yes, you're talking to your manager right now.
Well, if we're talking about career paths, perhaps we should address the fact that the only reason you want to be my manager is so you can escape your own job, which has so far consisted of firing your friends and hiding under tables in TGI Fridays. Okay. Maybe that was a bit much. However... Okay, time for a short break. When we come back, I'll be doing the dishes in a foul mood. See you then.
An old lady sits on a bench, sipping tea from a flask. She watches as a man passes by, walking three small dogs. They are out of control, and he is beginning to get a little tangled in the leads. Three girls are playing football with each other in the neighbouring fields. Their ball bounces into the main road and causes two cars to screech to a halt in opposing directions.
Where's Wally? The audiobook. Available now on BBC Sounds.
And there's a lollipop lady there too. She's a bit pissed off.
Welcome back. I'll be with you in a minute. I'm just talking to my eldest. So have you got all that?
I think so.
Okay, say it back to me.
Hello, Mummy. I'm a bit worried about this forthcoming consultation process that Daddy has to undergo at work. Is there any way you can reassure me by saying exactly what Daddy should do on Friday?
That's not very convincing, Sam.
I'm not an actor, Daddy.
I know, but we don't have the budget for child actors.
If you want to know what you have to do, why don't you just talk to Mummy?
Because we've just had a 6.0 on the argument scale, which means we will not be talking to each other for at least another 75 minutes.
Have you ever thought about a conscious uncoupling?
Okay, that's enough lines out of you. Go and be the background track again. Oh, what am I doing? I'm just going to go up there and talk to her. This is childish.
Yeah,
Roberta.
Of course, that sounds great. Thanks, Edgar. Okay, bye.
Who was that?
I've just got you your first gig as your manager.
What?
Well, it's an audition for a commercial. This casting director got my number from someone I met at the awards ceremony last week. He loves your sketches, wants to meet you.
Wow, that's amazing. What's it for?
Cheesy strings.
Cheesy strings?
Yes. You'd be playing a cheesy string.
What is a cheesy string, exactly?
It's a healthy snack that children put in their lunchbox, or more accurately, it's a healthy snack that parents put in their children's lunchbox that children later fling into the road on their way to buy crisps.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much. This is amazing. Not only have we ended the day on good news, but it's almost certainly eradicated the ill feeling from the argument we just had.
By the way, I still have ill feeling from the argument we just had.
Oh.
Nevertheless, you do need to know what to expect from this consultation process on Friday. So let's put the kids to bed and work out a battle plan together. OK?
OK. Thank you, dear. What do you think a cheesy string should sound like?
Jolly.
But theoretically, I'm going to be eaten, aren't I?
OK, jolly but philosophical.
Mums and dads love me because I don't contain any artificial colours, flavours or preservatives. Plus, I'm rich in calcium, which is essential for healthy bones.
OK, Michael, yep. It's getting okay. Better. Perhaps a little more joviality this time.
Right.
You still sound like you're giving a speech at the Conservative Party conference. Right. I want to believe that you're rich in calcium.
Right, yes, OK, sorry.
Give us a few minutes while we upload your files so far.
Yep, OK.
Good morning, Michael.
Oh, hello, Peter. Are you up for this role too?
As a cheesy string?
Yes.
Am I, Peter Curran, up for the role of a cheesy string?
Yes.
No, I'm just here for reassurance.
Oh, I see. My subconscious has activated you again.
Yes, I'm kind of like your genie in the lamp, only without the fancy waistcoat, the ethnic ambiguity, and the robbing.
Fine. Well, I'm about to have another crack at this, so what soothing words can you offer me?
I'm not here to offer soothing words, Michael. I'm not a Paul McKenna CD.
Well, what are you here for?
Do you know who owns the company that makes cheesy strings?
No.
They're called Pendahan. They're an enormous conglomerate with a huge history of union busting, price fixing, forced labour and deforestation.
Oh. Still, good news about the calcium in the cheesy strings. So.
The reason I bring this up is because of the dinner party this evening. Emily Malaby wants you to be the human face of her new morally upstanding political movement, right?
So?
What's going to happen if these people here want you to be their cheesy string? You can't be a mouthpiece for a sinister conglomerate and a beacon for political change. You have to choose. So what's it going to be?
I thought you said you were here for reassurance. How is this in any way reassuring?
That's a good point. I will say in my defence, though, that I'm just a nervous hallucination of yours. However, I don't want you to feel like I've wasted your time. So here's a recording of waves lapping on a beach.
Wow, this is actually working. It's very reassuring. I mean, it's a bit cliched, but it's working.
Can you pass me the sun cream?
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm not going to pass up the opportunity to spend a bit of time in your head if you start going to places like this, am I?
It's a bit intrusive, isn't it? I'm trying to relax here.
No, I'm not stopping you. By the way, why are you a crab?
What? Oh, for goodness sake, why am I a crab?
Well, I just asked you that.
I must have nodded off. Oh, no, I've fallen asleep during my audition.
Oh, well, don't wake up yet. I've only just done my legs.
Oh, well. Maybe it's for the best. I mean, my nervous hallucination of Peter Curran had a point, after all. I can't be a symbol of satirical integrity and flog evil cheese. And the last thing I want to do is let Emily down.
What has she told you about this political movement, by the way?
Just that she wants to shake up Westminster politics.
Did she say how she was going to do this?
Not really. She did say Bradley Walsh would be there.
What are you all dressed up for?
I'm not all dressed up. I'm wearing a shirt.
I've never seen you in anything with buttons. I thought you had a fear of them.
There is no such thing as a fear of buttons. I just thought I'd make a bit more of an effort today.
Is this in case you pass Connie in the corridor by any chance?
No. Although, yes. Yes. Yes, it is. It is for that reason that you just said. I'm actually dressed up for Emily's dinner party this evening, but there's no harm in my line manager thinking that I'm making an effort. Even though I'm not. By the way, there is such a thing as fear of buttons, and it's called coompoonophobia. Thank you.
Well, I hate to rain on your button parade, Billy Big Buttons, but I really don't think your wardrobe is going to nudge any decisions in your favour.
Well, it can't do any harm. Plus, let's not forget that 2 weeks ago, I posted a self-made video that was responsible for a huge sales bounce.
Technically, that was overseen by me, your line manager.
You had nothing to do with it, apart from telling me that I shouldn't post the video because it was rubbish.
That was reverse psychology.
No, it was a different psychological technique known as being wrong about something.
Look, everyone knows your head's been turned lately. It's only a matter of time before Connie finds out you're this big, hotshot la-di-da social media superstar.
Did you just say la-di-da?
And when she does find out, how well do you think it's going to play with her?
Well, I'm sure if my line manager wants to save me from the chop, she'll do all she can to support me.
Tea?
Yes, please. Wow. If I wasn't toast before that exchange, I'm certainly two slices of buttered toast and sodding jam now.
The system is designed to serve the politicians, not the public. Thousands of people tonight are hungry, poor, no opportunities, no hope. And that's why you're all here. I want you to be part of something, to be part of a movement that challenges politicians on both sides of the house to change. Because what is life without hope? Oh, that's my vegan teriyaki meatballs.
I'll get them out.
Really?
Yes, yes, you carry on. Leave it to me.
Well, thank you, darling.
Hello?
How's
it going?
Yeah, awful, really awful.
Oh no, why?
Well, first of all, everyone here is sort of white. I mean, like very white.
Okay, yes, that is a problem for a modern political movement.
And rich.
Rich?
Yes, everyone here is phenomenally wealthy. They're all the offspring of hedge fund managers. I'm currently standing in Emily Malaby's kitchen. It's the size of a shopping mall. The island at the centre of the kitchen is as large as some actual islands.
Right.
How can we be a party of the people if we're all rich, white and eating vegan teriyaki meatballs?
I don't know. Maybe the whole thing is just a self-serving gesture on her part.
Oh, terrific. And part of an elaborate gesture. It's only 6:30. I've got at least another 5 hours of this. I want to come home. Bradley Walsh isn't even here.
Oh. Is there anyone you could at least network with? Make it worth your while?
She's got a Labrador. But even he looks at me condescendingly.
Oh, I've got to go. Someone's at the door.
Roberta, hello? What's going on?
Oh, my God.
What?
Alexandra's at the door.
Oh. Does she look mad?
Yes. Yes, even through the frosted glass. I can tell she looks mad.
Do you want me to stay on the line?
No. It's fine. I'm going to hang up.
Okay. Well, call me
if you...
Okay,
bye.
Yep.
Hey there, funny man. How are the meatballs looking?
Well, they're not looking like meatballs.
Are you ever off? It's going well, don't you think? I think this could be the start of something big.
Confront her about it. Now. This is your only chance to do so. Yes, I feel like Guy Fawkes, only with less gunpowder and more, hummus. Pathetic.
Oh my goodness. You're so funny.
No, he's not. He's pathetic.
Oh, speaking of which, could you get another tub out of the fridge?
Yes. My goodness, you're certainly good for hummus for the next 5 or 6 years.
Oh, don't. I'm the face of Magic Organic Foods, and they provide me with so much ethical nosh over the year, it's ridiculous.
Magic Organic?
Yes. Have you heard of them?
Yes. Aren't they owned by Pendahan?
Ah, yes. I take it you've heard about their occasional tiny misdemeanours.
No, I've heard about their frequent large crimes.
Pendahan have made assurances to me that their code of conduct will be addressed at the next AGM.
Right. And will item one on the agenda be called Slavery in 2019? Good or bad, ?
I'm not privy to the agenda.
Doesn't this put you in a slightly difficult position with regards to your moral crusade here tonight? You can't clean up Westminster if you've only got a dirty mop.
You should meet my cleaner.
Yeah, see, that doesn't help either.
Look, we're all part of the system, right? We all have to play the game to a certain degree. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to make the change in the first place. Think of me as a double agent.
A double agent with a 6-figure salary and a fridge full of hummus.
Their kale is top-notch too, by the way.
I'm sorry, Emily, but I'm really not sure I can support you now. I really do think it's best if I leave.
Michael? You can't pull out before we've even started.
Look, I don't want to make this awkward for you, so I can leave through the back door to avoid drawing any attention if you wish.
No, you can't. There are a dozen photographers in my garden.
Oh, no. Who tipped them off?
Me.
I thought this was supposed to be a secret project.
Yes, at first I thought it should be a secret project, but then I thought, no, perhaps I should tip off 12 media outlets.
Why?
It's all very well showing you care, but if no one's around to notice, what's the point?
Right, well, I'm off then. Thank you for a lovely evening. Good night.
Good night, Michael. Sorry it didn't work out. Good luck with your satire. You really do make me laugh.
So do you.
So, Alexandra, what are you doing here?
You seem nervous, Roberta.
I am, yes. Just a touch, or a lot. Whatever you were expecting.
When I saw you cowering under a table in TGI Fridays, I thought I should really go and see Roberta. You know, clear the air.
Oh, no, you see, my son dropped a crayon and...
To be honest, I don't really know what to say, because I'm still really, really angry with you.
Right. Yes, I would be too.
But I like you. I've always liked you. So it's difficult. I kind of want to hit you. But with something soft, like a cushion.
My son has a large inflatable mallet.
Oh. That might work.
Okay. Well, I can get that if that will help.
If you don't mind, I think it would.
No. No, not at all. You go into the living room and I'll go upstairs and get it. Oh, take the bottle of wine in with you too.
Hello? Roberta? Oh, she's already asleep. Oh, for goodness sake, why does she always dump her clothes in the middle of the room and not put them in the laundry basket? It's like 1 foot away. Roberta, are you awake? How did it go?
I think I may have had too much to drink.
Oh, my giddy God. Who the bloody hell are you?
Oh, I always have trouble with my name when I'm drunk, so just call me Ted for now.
Are you Alexandra?
Oh, by the way, the cheesy string people called this evening.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't get the job.
Oh, thank God. Where's my wife?
I'm down here.
What? Where?
Here.
Oh, wait, you are the pile of clothes dumped on the floor. Sorry, what's going on?
Well, Alexandra and I achieved successful reconciliation this evening by drinking 3 bottles of wine and hitting each other around the head with an inflatable mallet.
Oh, you mean like they do at the UN? And why is she in our bed?
I thought this was a spare bedroom.
We don't have a spare bedroom.
Oh.
OK, well, I'm going to sleep on the sofa, I guess. Then, good night.
Oh, by the way, the cheesy string people called
I know.
They said they liked the energy you brought to the role, but it was ultimately your falling asleep halfway through the audition that they felt let you down.
I guess it would be churlish of me to contest that. Any other good news?
Yes, I've printed off everything you need for the consultation tomorrow.
Oh my God, I completely forgot about that.
Relax, you're gonna be fine.
How did it go?
Good.
Good. Shall I go in next, or...?
No. Connie doesn't want to see you today. She said she'll get round to you next week.
Why?
She didn't say. She just said she needs to do a bit more homework on you.
Oh, my God. She's told her. She's told Connie I'm a big hotshot la-di-da social media superstar. I can't believe she did that. I can't believe she actually sunk that low.
And before you start on your internal dialogue about what a remorseless, calculating wench I am, I would just like to stress that I did not tell her about you.
Oh.
But she does know about you.
Oh. So it's not looking good then.
Tea?
Yes, please. I wonder who told her. Maybe I'll find out next week. Perhaps this is a cliffhanger. Wow, an actual cliffhanger. I've never written one of those before.
Oh, this is not a cliffhanger, Michael.
Goodness me. Catwoman, what are you doing here?
I'm here to give you the cold, hard truth.
Which is?
Michael, no one told Connie. She reads the Evening Standard. She heard your name mentioned in the House of Commons. Her friends have shared your sketches with her. I hate to break it to you, but people are beginning to find out that you're famous.
Oh, flip.
And let me tell you, fame is not a gift. It's a burden. I could be doing so much more with my power if people didn't know who I was.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have dressed up as a big latex cat.
I'm not talking about Catwoman. I'm talking about myself.
Oh. Wait, are you Emily Malaby right now, or are you Catwoman?
I'm not sure, really.
And why did you come through the window? You've made a right mess. I'm going to have to write an accident report now.
Right, leave it out. I just thought this would be a nice climax to the episode, that's all.
Josephine's going to have kittens. No offence.
I'm not Catwoman. All right, I'm going to go. Sorry, could you help me back out the window?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, right. Just grab
Michael
the arm.
Yes, Michael Spicer Before Next Door was written by and starred Michael Spicer with Ellie Taylor, Joanna Neary, B.T. Edmondson, Kaya Smith-Bino, Peter Curran and Kip Spicer. It was produced by Matt Tiller and was a Starstruck Media production for